Hi, I'm Jillian Swinford.
And I'm Haley Brolison.
And this is Mother Nature Will Kill You,
a podcast about the most horrific tragedies
and the most triumphant survival stories that the wilderness can provide.
So grab your backpack
and maybe a bottle of wine
and let's go on a wild ride into the unknown.
Walking down this road I go, but I am going alone, running far, far from home till I skin and bone. I don't want to die, but I'll have to try. I don't want to die, but I'm on my own. We're back.
We're back.
We did a break.
We did. It was weird. Every weekend I was like, do I have to podcast today?
I know. And I was like, I just like took those episodes, like the filler rewind episodes, and like bulk posted them. So too was like, should I be doing something? Like, should I be editing?
It's weird when you don't have it. Yeah, it's like, it's weird when you don't have anything to do, but you feel like you should be doing something. I had that day yesterday because like the dog that I'm dog sitting, the owner texted me and was like, oh, it's bad weather. I'm not going to be out on the water today. Like, no need to come by kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, cool, great. And so all of yesterday, I was like, I had that feeling that I should be doing something.
Yeah.
But I didn't need to do something. And I was like, I feel like I'm forgetting something right now. I'm sure it's going to come to my attention sooner or later. But
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. So I just got back from our local chapter AFS meeting.
Oh yeah. How was that?
American Fisheries Society. For those that don't know, we have state chapters and then we have like regional chapters and then like a national one that I've never been to the national one, but
yeah.
How I was could the, go the... if I wanted to, but like nah. It's so much effort.
Yeah. How was the regional one?
It was good. It was in Nacogdoches, Texas.
Oh, nice.
Which I've never even heard of until.
Oh, I've heard of it. I've heard of it through country songs, but I don't think I've ever been through there.
Yeah. It's a college town. It's Stephen F. Austin University.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's like a smaller, I think, public college. I don't know. I'm not an expert on Texas college things, as all the A&M folks like to remind me.
Yeah, because that's like a big fisheries college for you guys down
yeah,
there.
Yeah, like literally everyone has gone to A&M. There's a smattering of UT because UT has a like a marine lab down in Port Aransas, but like yeah, it's kind of a cult down here, frankly. So.
Yeah, I mean, I would go on the A&M job board to find any fisheries jobs. So, I mean, that's if they have their own job board, that's, you know.
Yeah, that's how I got this job, actually. It was the A&M job board.
That's how I got the job where I started with Moat originally for fisheries. I saw it on the A&M job board.
Yeah, and yeah, if I decide to get my PhD down here, that's where I'm going to be going. So, you know. Yeah.
Better get used to it. But
I guess
probably
gonna be one with the cult.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it was good. Corey came, he did a poster. I had a pretty big turnout for my talk. Like I wanna say like 75% of the people that were still there that morning by that morning where it like came to it. So that was nice. I think it went well. Yeah, and there was a heated pool, and that's literally all I could focus on because I was just like, get my ass in that warm, warm water, please.
There.
So that's what we did, like, during the night. Usually I'll, like, go out, but, like, everybody was tired. Nobody was going out, so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to the pool. I'm going to go have a good time.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because, like, you know, when we were at VIMS, we would do the Tidewater chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly coastal people, but we did have inland people and we always like welcomed them and it was fine. But like in Texas, like the chapter is mostly inland. It's like a Texas-wide chapter. And so it's like a lot of inland people. And so they're trying to
Yeah.
get the coastal people to come. And so there were some comments that I was like, oh, is there some animosity between
Oh.
inland people and like the fact that coastal people are coming and I guess interrupting their conference for?
Wow.
Interesting.
It like never ceases to amaze me, like the drama that occurs within the science community.
It's so stupid because it's like, I don't like sitting through 15 talks about largemouth bass any more than you like sitting through, I guess, talks about coastal animals. But here we are. So
Yeah.
there was that little reminder of like the
That's funny.
headbutting. And I'm like, they're all just fucking fish. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They're all just fucking fish. Sounds like a them problem for
It does sound like
sure.
a them problem. I just thought it was funny. And
That
no,
is funny for sure.
no shade to any of the inland folks that I, regularly hang out with and talk to and stuff. No matter what field you're in, there's going to be that bullshit no matter where you
Yeah.
go.
It's crazy to me because, like, do you remember, like, thinking back when you were a kid and you're like, oh, like, I can't wait to be an adult. Everybody's gonna be so mature and I won't have to deal with this high school bullshit anymore. And it's like, no, that is still very much alive in
I think that's
the
just what it
workforce.
is to be human. Like, you're gonna have to deal with these fucking people until you
I
die.
know.
Literally, like in the nursing home, you're still gonna be dealing with these
Yeah.
bitches.
I know. I like had that realization real recently and I was like, God damn it. That's like, why? Well,
Yeah.
it's fine.
And I've just, and you know what? It's helped, like, when I'm in a situation job-wise that I really don't like having a hard time dealing with the people, that I have to
Yeah.
work with. And then I just remind myself, it's literally like this
Anywhere else.
fucking anywhere. Like,
Yeah.
it's just how it is.
Dude, I know. And like part of me, like, I don't know. I was talking to my mom about this recently because like the job hunt down here, like I know like getting a job is very much like who you know kind of thing, like networking. But it's like down here, it's like such a small community. I feel like it's like really highlighted, like, you know, who you know, or like it's like I know the same person too, but they just know you better. But it's like I have more skills than you do, but they just know you better, you know? And it's like that's really fucking frustrating. And like I don't know, like the high school stuff, I'm like, I can't tell if it's like, you know, more in your face down here because like it is such a small community, or like if that really is it just everywhere else. 'Cause like you're in a small community too. So like that's where I'm like, I don't know if maybe like our perception is like a little bit warped because we're like in this really small community where like it's just more prominent for us.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I know my whole organization, at least the division. I know all of their business, and it's like
Yeah.
it's interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, speaking of, so job search for me, right? And I'm just like, I'm so stressed out again. I
Yeah.
hate this.
I hear you. That's it is stressful, like trying to like I applied for a job the other day and I was like, God, this literally takes a whole fucking day to like write your cover letter up and like get your resume situated. Like it's a lot to do. And then like when you add in like all the interviews, like back when I was like doing a lot of interviews, it's like, you know, I wasn't really working during the week of my interviews. I was like, okay, cool, I'll do this interview this day. I'll like research stuff the night before, like, you know, study up on everything. Like it takes a lot of effort
It
to go through
does.
all of that. Yeah.
And
Just
then
to
you
be
have to
told
be
like, we'll
like,
talk to you in 2 to 4 weeks. And it's like, okay,
And you're like, well,
cool.
I don't know what that means. So, and then you have
Yeah.
to be like charming and cheerful, right? And like, which is not something I'm good at all. And so, and then, the minute you get on the interview, like your whole brain goes out the window.
I know. There was this one interview I did down in Key West, and like, you know, it went well. They liked me, like they offered me the job, but I was like, I had so many other interviews down in Key West that day too, or that week, and I was just like, dude, I don't know if I want to work down in Key West. Like, I don't know if I want to drive like pretty much an hour to work every day and an hour back home. Like, it just, I was like, I've been down back and forth to Key West a lot this week, and like in my brain, I'm already like, ugh, I have to go back down there again. Like, like I'm just like, I don't think I want to do that. Like, I need to stay
No.
somewhere a little bit more local. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Well, yeah, good luck to us, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, but on a brighter note, I've got my little
I see.
Mothman mug.
I almost picked that mug up for my coffee this morning, but I was like, "Oh no, I did it the other morning. I'll get a different mug." And I got a Christmas mug that Alex's mom gave us this
It's a goose.
morning. It's a goose in a scarf.
Yes.
It
So,
says
Corey,
Christmas quacker.
that's cute. So, Corey unprompted bought us Mothman mugs.
Yes.
Kind of, I guess, for Valentine's Day for you, really, I guess, like as a, congrats on your wedding kind of deal.
Yeah, it was nice. I
But it was
enjoyed
really cute. He's really thoughtful.
it.
So,
Yes, he is.
yes, our
Good
guy,
guy,
our extra
Corey.
guy that we bring on every once in a
I
while.
know. I had Facebook messaged him like, "Thanks for the mug." And then like I was looking through my text. I was like, "I think I have a group text with Jillian and Corey in
Yeah,
it." And I
you
do.
do.
And like I guess when I saved Corey's number, I had a brain fart on his last name, so I just put Swinford. So I was like, "Corey Swinford." That's
I think he would accept that. I think he would accept that. I mean, like, I'm gonna get called Jillian Waddell until the end of time. So,
Yeah,
he could get
I just
called
thought it
Corey
was funny. I
Swinford.
like looked at the group text. I was like, "Why the fuck did I put Swinford for his last
Yeah.
name?" I guess I had a brain fart.
So, yeah, so that's good.
But
And
yeah,
you
the
know
mug was
what?
nice.
And your wedding's coming up in like,
A month, dude.
yeah.
Yeah, talk
You
to me about
ready?
it. I'm
And
excited.
I know, I am too. I haven't been to the Keys since Corey and I took that, our first vacation to the Keys, and we drove all the way down from Norfolk,
Yeah.
all the
Oh
way to Key
my gosh.
West.
That's a
Which
long drive too. I've done that before.
it is. It was an experience. We learned a
Yeah.
lot about each
Yeah.
other.
Yeah. I'm sure you did.
Definitely made our relationships stronger, but also like now we know each other's quirks and like what happens when we're kind of stressed. So
Yes.
yeah, so that was this is good. This is good. I mean, we still have a good time. I had a good time, and we obviously like have a list of places we want to go to this time, which will
Yeah.
be fun, yeah, to
What do
do.
you guys want to like? What's your list on your list this time?
Definitely El Saboni,
Oh,
obviously.
yeah. We got that's I had that the other night. That's so
Yeah.
good. That's so
Yeah.
good.
There's a couple of bars I can't quite remember the names of, but I can remember what they look like that I'm gonna go back to.
Yeah.
Obviously the Key Lime Pie Shop.
Yeah.
Cuban Coffee Queen.
Stuff.
And then I want to go to Fort Zack and go snorkeling there because that was fun.
Yeah, Fort Zack is when people ask like what beach to go to, like Fort Zack is my number one for
Yeah.
that. I'm like,
And we're
'cause I
not
just
like, we're not like lay
yeah.
on the beach kind of people. We're just like, I'm like, if there's clear water and there's fish, I'm gonna get in. I'm gonna go look at them.
I'm gonna be a mermaid. Yeah. No, but like Fort Zack is nice because it's like to me it's like campy but then also beachy. So it's like if you want to like sit at a picnic table and like have lunch and like take a break
Yeah.
from like sitting in the sun, like you guys
And
can do that. Or like you
yeah.
could walk around the fort, like you could go snorkeling, like there's a snorkel trail out there, you can sit on the sand. Like
Yeah.
it's just I don't
Yeah.
know, it's a nice property. So
Yeah, it is. And for people who don't like sand, it's kind of ideal,
yeah.
because there's a lot of people who hate sand. I didn't I'm fine with it, but it does get annoying when you're done, like, and you want to be
Yeah.
done. But I don't mind. But some people are very like Anakin Skywalker about it, if you know
That's
what I
how
mean.
my grandma is. My mom said that like they never went to the beach growing up because my grandma just hated sand.
Yeah, and I'm like, yeah, I'm missing out, but all
Yeah.
right. Mm-hmm.
My uncle is the same way. I was talking to him recently and I was like, "Oh, I was just asking him where he lives." And like he lives a few blocks from the beach up in like Massachusetts. And I was like, "Oh, do you ever go?" He's like, "Fuck no, I hate the sand." I
Why
was like, "Oh." I was like,
do you
"Okay."
live there? Like, why, like, if you're not gonna go, like, why do
Yeah.
you live? Because
I
it's gonna be
know.
more expensive. You're gonna have to deal with hurricanes and storms.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? But
Yeah. I know. I
to
just thought it
each
was
their own.
funny. He was like, "Nope."
Well, I have kind of an apropos story today,
Yes.
considering vacations and sand and beaches. Oh, and Corey and I are going diving while we're there, which makes, I realize, makes this story really fucked up to do.
Yeah. Where are you guys going
But
diving? Do you know what reef or like what dive shop you're going to?
gosh, is it Key West Dive or Dive Key West?
Okay.
One of those two. It's either Key West Scuba Diving or Dive Key West. I can't remember which one I booked, but we're doing
Okay.
we have to do a refresher course.
Gotcha.
Because we haven't dove since Maui.
Oh, yeah.
Because like yeah, not last year, but 2 years ago, it was like weddings up the wazoo. And so we just didn't have
Yeah.
like any extra money or time to go do that. And then last year we went to Finland. So a lot of our
Yeah.
money was like going towards that. So
Yeah.
this is the first time we've been like, you know what? Let's go do it. So, but now I gotta do a refresher course.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're gonna go like do reef dives in the afternoon. It's just
So is it divekeywest.com? Because
maybe.
when I searched that, it came up with Captain Hooks, which we work with Captain Hooks quite a bit, so I like that.
Okay. Well, let me go see because I did make it recently.
I was just curious, like if you book it, because they have three locations, like one's in Marathon, one's in Big Pine, and then one's in Key West. And I know the Big Pine location goes out to Lu Key, and I was just curious where.
No,
I
it's
was.
Key West scuba diving
Oh, okay.
is what we're going through.
I was curious where they go out. Oh, right there, Key
Yeah,
West.
I don't know. Hopefully there's stuff there and it's not too bleached out,
Oh
but
my God, I know. NOAA came out with an article. I have to send it to you about pretty much the data that they've started to collect after the bleaching event. That's not
yeah.
good. Yeah.
Plus, whatever biotoxin is going on right now, making the
Dude,
fish
with this,
spin.
yeah, another fucking sawfish died the
I
other
know.
day. It's horrible.
Yeah. The earth is dying, everyone.
It really
It's
is. And like, so the thing
probably
is,
fine.
yeah, well, just a little quick tidbit from like what I've collected throughout the last few weeks of all of this disaster is like whatever toxin, like the hypothetical toxin that they're thinking this is, apparently that normally is like, I don't know the right word for it, but it's normally not as abundant because like the corals and like the seagrasses like uptake that toxin, like it like filters that toxin out in a way. And we had a massive bleaching event last summer and a lot of coral died. And so now when you think about it, it's like a lot of coral died. So now there's not as much biomass to uptake that toxin for the fish
Right.
to not get it. And now all these fish are like that's the theory, is that like these fish have this toxin. And it's like that would
Interesting.
make sense because there's not a lot of fucking biomass. The seagrass beds are all fucked up too. And so
Yeah.
now like there's like an abundance of this toxin that, and like the organisms that usually like filter that out aren't here.
There, yeah.
Yeah. And so now the fish are taking a toll on it. And it's like, guys, that's the domino effect we always talk about. When one starts going down, the other things start going down with it.
Yeah.
And it's like scary. Like that dog sitting job that I picked up, like he's a fishing guide down here. And he's like, talking about how the fishing guide community is like super concerned about what's happening. Cause like, the tarpon aren't getting it, the permit haven't come back. Like all of these big sport fish that they rely on to make a living
Right.
are starting to take a hit. And they're like,
Yeah.
what the fuck are we gonna do? Like he said, if the permit don't come back within like the next week or two, like their season is fucked. And I was like,
Yeah.
oh, that sucks for you guys. Like that's
Wow.
horrible. Yeah. So environmentally, we are not doing good down here right now. Which I feel bad because like people are coming down for the wedding, like, oh, we want to see the reef. And I'm like, there's not much to see right
Yeah,
now.
yeah.
You might
Yeah,
not even want
well,
to
I
get
mean
in the water.
that's part of the consequences of,
Yeah.
things that we're collectively doing as a nation and as the world, as a developed world, I guess.
Yeah. And even like eating fish, like the fishing guide was like, I wouldn't eat any fish. I haven't been eating any fish around here. Like, I was like, yeah, no, I've been staying away from it too ever since I heard about this whirly thing happening. Like, no fucking thank you.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, no,
yeah.
it's not great. So let's talk about another ecosystem that's also
Yes.
not,
Also fucked.
yeah, having issues. So this one, so if you ever heard of the movie Open Water,
I don't think I have actually.
so it is about this couple, and it's basically
Oh.
a reimagining of what might have happened to them
Oh,
because we don't
okay.
actually know what happened to them. So
Okay.
that's kind of a spoiler to the episode, that
Okay.
these people have
Just
disappeared.
disappear. Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of theories as to what exactly happened, but this is basically one of my worst nightmares as a recreational diver.
Oh no.
And I'm doing this to myself like 3 weeks before I'm going to go dive, but
Yeah,
it's
I'm saying
fine.
why? It's fine. Everything's fine.
So, this is a married American couple, Tom, 33, and Eileen Lonergan. Eileen was 28,
Oh.
and they were from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Both were avid divers, and the couple was described as young, idealistic, and in love with each other. They met at Louisiana State University and were married in Texas on June 24th, 1988.
Oh.
So, a little parallels.
Yeah.
You know, it's cool
Don't
all the way
scare
around.
yourself.
Yeah, living
Yeah.
in Texas, so.
Don't scare yourself.
So Eileen was the original scuba diver of the couple and got Tom interested in the hobby as well. They were also interested in service to, those less fortunate, leading them to a 2-year stint with the Peace Corps at Funafuti, which is an atoll on the Pacific Island nation of Tuvalu. So they were out in the South Pacific, doing Peace Corps work. And as a young couple, which is kind of like, I think if young me knew these people, I'd be like, oh my God, they're like the coolest freaking
Yeah.
people. Like they're living like an adventure
My
dream.
dream life, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll just like give a little overlook of our whole situation. So in 1997, the couple had been living in Fiji, serving the Peace Corps for a year. When their time in the Peace Corps ended, they were turning back to the States in January of 1998, and they wanted to stop in Queensland, Australia, to dive on the Great Barrier Reef, which is the world's, still to this day, largest coral reef system. This was the chance of a lifetime to do so while they were in this part of the world. And makes even more sense. I would totally do it now because I'm like, there's probably, it's only going to be here for so much longer,
Yeah.
in the form that it is now.
Dude, I know.
So,
I've always wanted to get out there and see it, but now I'm like, I don't know if I ever will.
yeah, but also
Gonna
it's
be
like so
gone.
much money and time.
Yeah,
Like,
just to get out there. Yeah.
so the Great Barrier Reef is the world's largest coral reef system, comprised of over 2,900 individual reefs and 900 islands, stretching over an area of 1,400 miles and an area, total area of 1,333 square miles. The reef is located in the Coral Sea, so appropriate,
Yes.
off the coast of Queensland, Australia, separated from the coast by a 100-mile channel. And it stretches from the coastal town of Bundaberg to the northern tip of Cape York. The reef can be seen from space and is the world's biggest structure made by living organisms. The current living reef structure is believed to have begun growing about 20,000 years ago.
Isn't
So it's
that
also
crazy?
extremely old. Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're just getting rid of it. Blink of an eye.
Dude,
Whoops.
it's so bad.
Yep.
When people ask me like what they think would started all of this like reef degradation, I'm like, well, that's a loaded question because I wasn't alive when we were doing all of this shit.
Right.
Like, I was like, there was a lot of shit that happened that was not okay. But like from what I know, it seems like probably since since like the 80s is like when it started to go like downhill fast.
And it's just because people don't care. They don't care. Or, you know, the powers that be don't care, I guess.
It's the Wild
So,
West.
yeah. It's actually nice when it's like these, you know, wealthier celebrities and stuff care about these ecosystems as much as we do, because it's like, okay, you guys could actually do some like financial difference and like try to, but like ultimately you're not gonna stop the quick decline of like, you know, fossil fuels fucking up the atmosphere. Like, we're already on that track. It's like happening. There's nothing you can do to stop it at this point. It's just how bad is it gonna get? That's the real question, right?
That's gonna
So
get
this reef structure is 20,000 years old. It's been adding to itself gradually as sea levels rise around it. But we're again at the point where sea level is rising too fast for the reef to keep up. All of the islands in this region were formed from remnants of the reef. The reef is now partially protected by the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park to limit impacts of human use, but the reef is also threatened by runoff from pollutants, obviously climate change and coral bleaching, the dumping of dredge material affecting turbidity and therefore access to light, and then outbreaks of the predatory crown of thorn starfish, which prey on coral polyps.
Oh, yeah. They look cool, but yeah, they definitely are
Yeah, I actually forgot
none.
they were like a thing until I was like doing this, and I was like, oh, that's
Same.
right.
That's why I just said, oh, yeah. I was like, oh, fuck, I forgot about that.
They're devastating because like you can cut them up into tiny pieces, throw them overboard, and
And
all of
they'll
those
regenerate.
regenerate. And that's, I think, how the problem got so bad in the first place, is because like, there's miscommunication about like, no, you just need to remove them from the reef
Like you can't just
entirely.
cut them up and throw them back. Like they're not dead.
They're gonna like regenerate. Starfish are fucking cool that way. So bleaching events since 1995 to 2017 have contributed to over half the reef's coral cover being lost, and the percent of baby corals being born on the reef has dropped drastically in 2018. But it is still like an ecological hotspot. You know, we call it the Amazon of the ocean for a reason. It's because it also contains 30 species of cetaceans or whales and dolphins, over 1,500 fish species, 17 species of sea snake. I didn't even know there were that many species of sea snake.
Yeah, me neither.
Six species of turtles, 15 species of seagrass. We have our classic dugong, 125 species of elasmobranchs, so that's rays and sharks, 5,000 species of mollusks, 400 species of coral, and many more call the reef home. And on the reef's islands, there's 120, or sorry, 215 species of birds. We've got saltwater crocs, we've got mangroves, and 2,195 known plant species thrive on those islands. So it's not just the reef, it's also the islands that were formed by the reef too. It became a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1981, but the reef had long been used by Aboriginal Australian people and is a popular destination for tourists now. And so that's our brief overview of the amazing ecosystem that is the Great Barrier Reef. Just a little crash course.
I wonder if the like Great Barrier Reef coral babies declining is like similar to the Florida's coral reef coral babies declining.
Why are they declining in Florida?
Well, there's like, two big issues that when I give tours to people, it's like what I tell them. Like the one issue is that there's like less than 2% coral tissue cover here. So Florida's coral reef stretches 360 miles long. And there's less than 2% coral tissue cover. So, like in terms of mileage, that's about like 7 or less miles is like covered in coral. And then we had this massive bleaching event last summer, and like a lot of coral died. And so, like obviously, anybody with a brain could figure out that like to reproduce, you need to have like mom genets or like DNA, like the egg, and then like the dad's sperm. Like that's, egg and sperm. You need to have that. And like for the baby to be made, it has to fertilize. And like, how does it fertilize? They have to meet each other and mix with each other and like connect, right? And so like, since there's not a lot of tissue cover on the reef in Florida, like if they do have successful spawns in the wild, like they're probably too far apart to actually fertilize in the water column. And so like that's one of the issues is like there's not a lot of coral tissue there. So like when they do spawn, they're not fertilizing because they're too far away from each other. But then the other issue is like if they are close enough together and they do fertilize, corals need a hard bottom to settle on and anchor themselves to and then grow from there. And so on the Florida Reef Tract, it's a lot of it now is covered with algae because a lot of the grazing community has died off. Well, not a lot, but there was a one major grazer that died off in the 80s, which was the longspine urchin. And up until recently, they didn't know why that species had a massive die-off. And they recently figured out that it was a ciliate, which is some sort of like parasite that got into their that got into their system and killed them all. And like talking to local people down here who've been down here since like before the 80s, they're like, oh yeah, like this area over here, like the bottom used to be black. I remember when you couldn't even walk on the bottom because there were so many urchins everywhere. And now you go there and it's all sandy bottom and like you don't see an urchin anywhere anymore. And so like, they had this massive grazing community of the longspine urchin had a die off in the 80s. And then like algae was just starting to accumulate on all of these dead reefs. And now that's part of the problem too, is like there's not a lot of hard space to land for these coral babies to grow. So yeah, it's like two big problems is what I try to tell people during our tours,
I
it's
imagine for Great Barrier Reef, probably has something to do with the whole bleaching event, killing off the parents, right? But yeah, that is a big issue, as I guess coral are technically what, broadcast spawners, right? They just release their little sperm or eggs, from
And hope
where
for the
they
best.
are. And they have to meet with an animal of the same species in the water column, right? So it's not only that, like, say you have five different species of coral releasing in the same area, well, they can't, like, mate with each other. So they're just, because they're different species, like, so their sperm and their eggs aren't going to, like, interact in that same way. So that is, yeah, interesting. I know for. I think for the Great Barrier Reef, but it's also something we're having issues with like oyster reefs up here, where the spat also need hard bottom to settle on. And if you're getting like increased sedimentation from rivers or just from dredging efforts, then all these hard spaces are going to be covered with layers of sand or mud or silt, and so they're not going to be like hard bottom or hard structures anymore. And that's a problem we have up here. And I think the temperate world has when it comes to like oyster. And I wonder too if that's an issue in Florida, or I do know that it can be an issue in the Great Barrier Reef as well. So yeah. Just a mess.
It is a
So
mess.
let's talk about a different mess. So on January 25th, 1988, the Lonergans decided to explore this amazing ecosystem through the diving company Outer Edge, a scuba boat that took 26 passengers out to the reef. Jeffrey Nairn, the boat's captain, set their destination to St. Crispin Reef, which was 38 nautical miles off the coast of Port Douglas, Queensland. They had visited two other dive locations until they reached an area of the reef called Fish City. For obvious reasons, the couple told one of the crew that they wanted to go off on their own for the third dive. The crew member did not record this request in the dive log, which was pretty typical. They would record those kinds of things, but it just didn't happen. After arriving, the couple put on their gear and jumped in the water in the Coral Sea for a planned diving session of about 40 minutes. Before they were supposed to return to their boat, they were last spotted about 12 meters underwater, exploring the reef. However, they would never return to their boat, as the outer edge left without them.
Oh.
And
So
they're
then they're just
like,
floating around out there
yeah,
offshore.
100 miles offshore. Yeah.
Man,
So
that's
when the
scary.
couple surfaced following their dive, this is, what's thought partially to have happened. There were probably about 5 hours of daylight left, and the couple were about 2 to 3 kilometers from three pontoons that were used to tie up dive boats for the trips to the reefs. I know they do that in the Keys as well. But it's unlikely they could see them from the water level, right?
Yeah,
So
because when
it's
you're, yeah, when
unlikely,
you're.
yeah, that they knew where to go. So while being left behind by a dive boat isn't always a death sentence, because oftentimes people will realize their mistake and come
Well, yeah, that's
back.
why you take, roll call. Like,
Yeah.
you're like, oh, do we have everybody on boat? No, we don't.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's go see where they are.
Yeah. Yeah. But in this case, it became unthinkable because it was 2 days before anyone realized the Lonergans were missing.
Oh my God. I'm
And
guessing they
this.
didn't take a roll call beginning or after.
There's a lot of debate as to, how that all went down. And this is kind of like the incident that really cemented, like, the you have to do a roll call because this is the consequence if you don't kind of thing. So, 2 days following the dive, Nairn found a bag aboard the boat containing the Lonergan's personal belongings, including their wallets and passports. Investigating the bags, that was only prompted by their hostel shuttle driver, who noted that they didn't return to the hostel and eventually called the Outer Edge to report them missing. And so they didn't even search the bags until they heard, got that phone call, like, hey, like they didn't show back up to the hostel. Like, do you know where they are? Which, like, props to that hostel for actually giving a shit, I guess. So it turned out that the couple had also left their shoes at the dive shop.
Yeah, it's like also a sign like, hey, whose shoes are these? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then you have two people missing.
So this discovery launched a massive search, and it turned out that Nairn had not accounted for all the passengers on the vessel, at least not appropriately. So the procedure at the time was to blast a whistle to get most people out of the water and to do a head count to make sure everyone was on board to return home. So that was the protocol at the time. Still, in addition, divers are supposed to be logged in and out of the water and notes taken on the depth of the dive and air tank levels. Nairn claimed a head count was done, but there is a disagreement between witnesses and the crew. Vessel owners insisted there was a count. Of course they did, but crewmen were not sure. Passengers recall a head count being done, but that the numbers couldn't have been correct, because if there was a head count done, they would have realized that the Lonergans were still down there. The bags
Come
belonging, yeah, there's like some shady shit,
on.
and this still has not been worked out to this day.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So the bags belonging to the Lonergans were found the Sunday they disappeared. But vessel owners figured whoever owned them left their bags behind as they seemed to be shoved into a corner. And so no one bothered to open them.
Oh my God.
Yep. The signs of their disappearance were already there, however, as another dive group that was taken to the same area the following day found dive weights on the reef floor.
Oh no.
But they merely thought it to be a lost item by one of the groups prior, which makes sense because you find sometimes masks and stuff down when you're down there. People lose stuff when they're up at the surface. And so they're probably like, oh, cool, free gear. Because there was no like alarm sounding that the Lonergans were missing. So they didn't even think twice.
I mean, and this stuff happens to people that are even like seasoned divers too, which is like the really sad thing.
Yeah. So little did they know that those lost items belong to lost human beings.
Yeah.
Which I could you imagine, like, because they really had no, that other dive crew had like no knowledge of anything that was going on, and they just found that those things, and then like
Yeah.
when the news breaks like the next day,
They're
you're
like,
just
oh
like,
shit.
oh fuck, you know.
Yeah, like, oh fuck, that's what we saw.
Yeah. So the search quickly became a massive air and sea search, with everyone from the Australian Navy to civilian rescue teams and vessels taking part in the search, but no evidence of the lost divers was found during this initial search. And because the currents around the reef can be intense due to its location on the outer edge of the Great Barrier Reef, the search area had to be quadrupled to like account for current drifting of the Lonergans. But in the days following the incident, nothing was found, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like if they're seasoned divers and like they get separated, like they're at the surface. That's what you said. Like it's assumed that they're at the surface. So then they're probably like, where the fuck do we go? Like maybe they saw like a neighboring island and we're like, all right, we'll just go here until someone finds us. Who
Right.
knows?
Yeah. But unfortunately, in February of 19, oh, this was supposed to be 89.
Oh,
Dyslexia strikes again.
I'm sorry.
In February of 1989, a woman's wetsuit of Eileen's approximate size washed ashore on the Australian coast. The wetsuit was found with tears along the buttocks, which that cracked me up because every single article said butt. I'm just say butt. It's fine. It's we all
Yeah,
get it.
yeah.
Tears along the buttocks and the armpits. However, there was no blood evidence on the suit. The state of the suit suggested that a shark attack wasn't likely, as the barnacle growth on the wetsuit determined it had been submerged in the ocean since January. The tears on the backside were thought to be caused from scraping against coral.
Oh.
Yeah. 6 months later, in June of 1989, found some of the Lonergan's diving gear washed up ashore. One of
Oh.
the most haunting finds was a dive slate with the note, "To anyone who can help us, we have been abandoned on Agincourt Reef by MV Outer Edge, 25 Jan 1988."
Oh, that's creepy. I don't like that.
Hold on. I've made that mistake too many times with the years. So now I'm like, was it 88 or was it
No.
98? I gotta look this up because it's
You're
gonna
good.
bother me.
Yeah, no worries.
Okay, it's 98, ni 1998, not 1988. Was a
1998?
yeah, it was a
What'd you say?
decade.
Okay.
Okay, I'm stupid. Don't even worry about me.
Don't say you're stupid. That's not nice.
You say you're stupid all
I
the
do.
time.
I do. There's not a lot going on up there. Hey, let's do what I say. Don't do what I do.
Sorry about that. That was okay. So this was supposed to be a more haunting moment, but I'm over here like, okay, what's going on with my dyslexic ass? Why do I keep making the same mistake? Well, turns out it wasn't a mistake. Okay. Okay, so one of the most haunting finds was a dive slate
Yes.
that had the note, "To anyone that who can help us, we have been abandoned on a Agincourt Reef by MV Outer Edge, 25 Jan 1998, 3 p.m. Please help us. Come to rescue us before we die." And then help with 3 exclamation points. That's,
I don't like it.
yeah, that is haunting, and it kind of comes into play to some of the theories later
Yeah.
as to like why some of those theories don't make sense to me. So, but this is like probably one of the most famous aspects of this case is that they actually found like the help note.
Yeah. 'Cause like clearly they were alive for a bit. Like it's not like they died underwater. Like, dude, that's so scary. So like side note real quick, was a missing diver like a few months ago here. And he is like a seasoned diver. He's like a veteran, like all of this stuff. So when he went missing, it was like super shocking because he was like a member of the community. I'm like, oh my God, like how could that happen to him kind of thing? But then everyone else is like, well, if he did surface and he's like somewhere on an island, like he's alive because he has all of these skills, like he's gonna be alive. But they never found his body. They never found him. They just called off the search after like a week. And I was like, oh my God, that is so scary. Like, I don't know. They still haven't found his body. I have no idea. No one has any idea what happened to him. Like, I don't know.
And that's
Scary.
why, like, even though Corey and I probably could dive without a guide if we really wanted to, we never do. Because
Yeah,
I'm
it's
like,
just safety.
we don't know the area, and we want to make
Yeah.
sure that we're accounted for by a professional in the water, you
Yeah.
know, not just like people on a boat because of
Yeah.
situations like this. So we always have a guided dive, always.
Yeah, that's smart.
Because I just don't trust it.
That man was on a guided dive. I think he was one of the guides. Yeah. Yeah. Not to scare you even more. I'll go back and like look at the article or something, but yeah. And as long as you guys aren't diving the Vandenberg, I wouldn't worry about yourself,
No, we're
honestly.
not diving the Vandenberg. Fuck that
'Cause
shit.
that's where this happened, was on a
I'm
Vandenberg
telling
dive.
you, the Vandenberg's a death trap.
My cousin texted me the other day about like wanting to know where to dive because her and her husband want to dive while they're here. And I was like, you know, people like to dive the Vandenberg. I was like, but I would never. I've heard too many horror stories. Like one of my coworkers was on a dive where she saw a woman struggling, turned to look at her friend to be like, hey, that woman's struggling. By the time they looked back, she was gone. And like she died. Like she had a heart event underwater because the current gets so bad under there that like if you're not a good diver, like the current is gonna fuck you up. Like, and I don't know. So I told her, I was like, I warned her about that one. I was like, if you guys feel confident and like that kind of diving, like for sure, like you guys are young, healthy, like fit people. But I was like, I have heard one too many stories about someone dying on that dive, someone going missing on that dive. Like, I had the opportunity to go on that dive and I said no because I was like, I know myself. That's like 100+ feet underwater. There's a strong current down there. Like I'm asthmatic. I'm not a strong swimmer in the first place. I'm not a strong diver in the first place. I'm not gonna go do that. Like,
Well, and I've already experienced what it's like to be taken by a current to the surface. I don't
yeah.
need to do that again. I'm good. So Corey and I just like kind of decided that like, hey, we're just gonna do like shallow reef dives and maybe shallow wreck dives and be okay with that. And that's
Yes.
fine. That's fine with
Yeah.
me. That's fine. I just want to see animals. I don't like, and if you're spending so much time to even get down to a wreck, like you can't be down there for that long to even
No,
experience it.
I know you're down there for like what, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and then you have to go back for like a 15-minute safety stop, and then like
Like, what's the point?
I
No.
know. Yeah. So as long as
So.
if you guys said you were doing the Vandenberg, I'd be like, you might want to rethink that one. But
Yeah, we may not
yeah.
show up to your wedding.
Dude, that I'm yeah. That's what so when my cousin said that, I was like, I'm just a little concerned. Please don't do this one.
No, we're not. I mean, I gotta double check with the dive team, but I figure if we're doing a refresher course, they're not gonna take us to the Vandenberg.
No,
Like,
and like you would be signing up for a Vandenberg dive. Like you would know if you did that one. Yeah.
So for everyone who doesn't know, the Vandenberg was it a purposely sunk wreck, like
Yeah.
to build like more reef habitat?
Yeah. Yeah, artificial reef. Yeah.
So yeah. The
That was
other
a
thing
really
found with
bizarre
that
story.
dive slate, by the way, so there were two inflatable dive jackets that had Tom and Eileen's name on them as well, and
Oh.
Eileen's fins and compressed air tanks. They washed up on a Port Douglas beach about 75 miles from where the two were lost.
Oh
So
gosh.
it's possible that they were like the gear was removed in delirium as the couple tried to swim back to shore or something. However, without life jackets, they would have ultimately drowned. It's also possible, and this is what I think is more likely, that the life jackets simply slipped off the bodies as they decayed or ultimately were scavenged on. And
Oh,
that's how the
yeah.
gear
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So while the gear was found, Tom and Eileen's bodies were never seen again.
Oh.
The disappearance shocked the local dive community. So there, of course, are a lot of theories about what happened to the Lonergans, and evidence indicating that something more sinister was behind the disappearance. So there's a little sprinkling of true crime in here. Many people thought, of course, that it was the complete negligence on the part of the captain or the dive company. The Outer Edge dive company actually suggested that they had gone missing on purpose, leaking entries from Eileen's diary to support the argument. Though the chief of police in Port Douglas also alluded to there being personal drama between the two of them. Despite this, Chief Superintendent Col McCallum said that he didn't consider the entry in the personal diary to be a suicide note. The diary was found in a safe in the couple's Cairns hostel. So I'm going to read some of these entries. So if, I guess, trigger warning, if, suicide is something you don't want to hear about, then, maybe this episode is not for you, or you can skip ahead like 5 minutes or so. So there was speculation that this event was staged, or that it was a suicide pact, or even a murder suicide, because both Tom and Eileen's diaries had disturbing entries, as it appeared that Tom was battling depression. Eileen's diaries indicated that she was concerned for Tom, as he seemed to have a death wish. She also wrote 2 weeks before their disappearance that he wished to die a quick and peaceful death, and that Tom's not suicidal, but he's got a death wish that could lead him to what he desires, and I could get caught in that. Tom's diary also indicated this, as he wrote, "Like a student who has finished an exam, I feel that my life is complete and I am ready to die." So, disturbing entries. But, like, I feel like the dive slate wouldn't have had that written on it if that was the case.
Like help. I feel like, yeah, if you are writing things like what he wrote in that diary,
The
yeah,
only
no.
thing I could see is like it was a suicide pact, or like it was a murder suicide, but then he got out there and realized that he didn't want to do this. Because I feel like sometimes when it comes down to it, people who try to commit suicide or have that realization of like, oh wait, I don't actually want to do this. And that does happen. So that's at most, but like to fully go through with it, but then write that on a dive slate,
I hear you. Odd.
if you truly love your partner, you would never like take them with you.
Yeah.
Like that's
There's
just
some
not,
sense. You don't do that.
no, like I would never, like if I really wanted to kill myself, I would never take Corey with me. But
Easily.
I mean, I'm not saying that I have, but like if that was the case, I just couldn't imagine like having a murder suicide situation. Like that's awful.
The only murder suicide situations that I've listened to are like on the true crime podcast where like there's like a heated argument or like someone that has like, they're out for vengeance and then like they kill someone and then they're like, oh shit, I'm gonna get caught. I'm gonna be put away for the rest of my life. I might as well kill myself now,
Either that, or it's like a husband who's like he has basically lost all their money, but like they don't know about it yet. And he's like, well, I don't want them to have to suffer and live that lifestyle, so I'm gonna kill everybody. And it's like, it's so fucked, but
It is.
it's usually men that do it because they're like, well, I won't want my per other person to suffer the consequences of my suicide. And it's like they're gonna get through it. They're, like I always want life. Like, don't
Yes.
Don't make that choice for me, I guess. I don't know. It's interesting. It adds something to the story, but it's like ultimately, I don't know how true that is, considering that
Yeah.
that dive slate. So both of the parents also like disputed this, thinking that the entries were taken out of context, as they never saw any indications of this mindset with Tom's mother, or with Tom. Tom's mother said of the couple, they were never alone. We used to laugh at them, how they would do everything together. I still hope they will call me and tell me that they have been found. But, on the other hand, it's like your kid may not always tell you that they're gonna, like, they're having
Yeah.
suicidal thoughts.
There, yeah. That's not a conversation you have with your parents.
No, like, you don't, like, I mean, I've never had this happen, but, like, I imagine, like, if it did, I wouldn't tell my parents
Well,
or.
yeah, 'cause also like what if you come from a family where like your parents don't hear you out? Like what if
Yeah.
they're like the type of people that just think you're being dramatic? 'Cause like that's also a thing. Like, there's kids out there who try to confide in their parents and then their parents will just like they just brush them off.
Yeah.
And then like then their kid commits and they're like, oh, we had no idea. And it's like, really? Because like they told you. So
Yeah. But I mean, and I don't know how close that they were with their parents, but it seems like they were fairly close. But I don't
yeah.
know. I don't know. And sometimes people just write that shit to be dramatic. And you know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
I say all the time, like, God, I wish I could just die, when I'm at work or whatever.
Yeah.
So there's that too. I don't know. I don't know. So
I know.
another less
I
likely
get that.
theory is that they faked their deaths and
To
disappearances
start a
for
new life.
new life. That's always
Yeah.
the go-to.
Yeah.
Supposedly, another boat captain claimed to have visited the same dive spot the next day and encountered the couple. And he claimed his headcount included two more. He said they were Americans on the way back. But that's one of those things that I feel like if you're a dive captain and that happens, you should probably report that.
Yeah.
You
A
I
thousand percent.
Not like come forward after they've disappeared and been like, oh, I had two Americans on my, like that. That just doesn't happen.
I know.
Okay.
There's, yeah,
Yeah.
I hear you.
Okay. So 20 people since this event have come forward claiming to see the Lonergans after they supposedly disappeared. They were allegedly seen all around Australia, including a Darwin hotel and a Port Douglas bookshop 2 days after their dive. Another unidentified boat a mile away from the dive site reportedly picked up the Lonergans. But like human beings are notoriously bad at like being witnesses and like remembering things. And like a lot of people look like other people. You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah, we were talking about something similar to this a couple weeks ago because I forget how we got on the topic, but it was about the DC sniper and how like originally everybody was like, "Oh, he's in a white van." And they were in a red like little car, sedan type of car. Like they were never in a white van. But
Yeah.
someone just like heard a shot from somewhere, looked over, saw a white van driving around. So then for like the next few weeks, everybody had like their eyes peeled for white vans. Meanwhile, they're in a red car.
Yeah.
Like
One of the
it's
most obvious vehicles
yeah.
also. Yeah, and like if a rumor gets started, people be like, "Oh, I've seen them." Oh yeah. Like that they're alive. I don't
Yeah.
know. Also, people like attention. And I think a lot of people like call into like investigations to be like, oh, I saw them, so that they can get like some kind of twisted attention. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like, I feel like that happens a lot with like kidnapping cases. But,
Yeah, I don't know about kidnapping cases, maybe.
or
I'm
like just
thinking.
murder cases. Like, oh, yeah, I saw the suspect.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've read it or like listened to it. Happening a lot in a lot of different cases where
We've
people will
been
do
watching
that.
a lot of Dateline recently.
Yeah.
And yeah, there was one episode where this woman went to go check on her neighbor and she like opened the door and she like took a step in and then she got like this big chill and she just took a step back and was like she just left immediately. And then she says that she didn't call the cops, like because she was like, I didn't really suspect anything was going on. I just felt a negative feeling and I shouldn't go
Yeah.
in there. So I left. But also, like, you know, Alex being a police officer, he's like, that is literally what we're here for. He's like, our job is to sit around all day and wait for a call. Like, you fucking call us. Like, even if
Yeah.
it's like nothing, like you call us.
That's literally our job.
Yeah.
Just
He's like, we
waiting
just
for you
sit.
to call.
Yeah. He's like, it's just better to be safe than sorry. Like, if you want to call and be like, hey, like, I don't know what's going on. I didn't hear from this person in a while. I went to go check on them and I got a bad feeling. I didn't go
Yeah.
in. You know, but this woman goes and does that and then doesn't call for like a whole
Yeah.
24, 48 hours. I'm like,
Yeah.
how do you just not call? Like, I don't
If people
know.
like don't want to be that person that calls the police and then it's not an emergency, and I'm just like that's you're right, that's their whole job. That's their whole
Yeah.
job.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what
They do
they're
that.
supposed to do.
That's what they're there for.
Yeah. So if this whole situation was the case where they fake their deaths,
Yeah.
they would have to start completely from scratch because the couple's bank and insurance policies were unclaimed. So they would have had zero money. They would also have had to rely on the coincidence that the crew of the Outer Edge counted heads incorrectly on their dive boat upon leaving.
Yeah, so then
Like
like you
that
have to admit
also
that
would
you
have
made
been.
a mistake and then that's
Yeah.
a liability for them and then they're gonna
Right.
get sued. Yeah.
Right. So that increases the unlikeliness of that theory for me, along with all the other shit we just talked about.
Yeah.
The general consensus following the disappearance is that the couple floated at the surface, waiting for the boat to return, slowly growing dehydrated, disoriented, drifting from the spot they were at, and may have eventually been eaten by sharks, either alive or after they were deceased.
Yeah, see, that's what I was thinking too. And then also, how traumatizing would it be if you were still alive and you got eaten by a shark? But then also, other traumatizing part would be like if your partner was dead, you were still alive and you saw them get eaten by a shark,
Yeah.
or they were still alive, you both were still alive, you saw them, like all of that to me, traumatizing.
Yeah, and that's kind of what
I
the
hope they
movie is
were,
about. So it's like a
yeah.
horror thriller, basically.
I hope they were both passed on when they were scavenged on. Like
Yeah,
that's
I
like
do
that
too.
would just be the oh, I can't imagine.
Because I'm one of those people, like, once I die, I don't care that much what happens to my body because I'm like not in it anymore. So like if a shark
Yeah.
wants to eat me, they can eat me. I don't care.
Like
Yeah. So it's most likely that if they were attacked while alive, they would have been attacked by tiger sharks, as they are the species of shark in Queensland most likely to attack humans. That being said, though, most species of sharks in the area, like that they were in, were reef-associated, smaller species, and were not likely to attack or eat humans. So it's probably like the most likely that they were scavenged on, like after
Yeah,
dying. Yeah.
that's
The court case preceding the event changed or charged Naren with an unlawful killing, which I believe is like the equivalent of manslaughter in the US.
okay.
Coroner Noel Noonan stated that the skipper should be vigilant for the safety of passengers and ensure safety measures are carried out. When you combine the number of mistakes and the severity of the mistakes, I am satisfied a reasonable jury would find Mr. Naren guilty of manslaughter on criminal evidence. Naren pleaded guilty to negligence, but was not found guilty of an unlawful killing by the jury. So the jury actually like marked him as innocent, I guess.
Gotcha.
Naren, or sorry, the company was fined after it had also pled guilty to negligence, and the company went out of business. Ultimately, the jury believed that the unfortunate event was not Naren's fault alone and did not place full blame on him. And I guess I could see partially how you could feel that way because there were other, he's not the only person on that boat. He
Yeah,
wasn't
like
the only
someone
person
else
on
could
that
have
boat.
spoken up and been like, hey, we have two people missing. Like, I
Right.
remember seeing this person on board and they're not here anymore.
Yeah. It was thought that due to the state of gear recovered, the couple most likely succumbed to delirium resulting from dehydration. which caused them to voluntarily remove their diving gear and drown.
Oh, gosh.
It wasn't the first time that something like that had happened in the area, as in 1993, a 16-year-old diver was left behind and drowned. And the week following the Lonergan's disappearance, a 34-year-old Australian diver would have been left behind if his friends hadn't told the dive crew that he hadn't surfaced yet upon returning to the vessel.
Oh my God, who
Yep.
are these people that are running this
Despite,
boat?
I know. Well, and that was like a week after. So you'd think everybody would be
Yeah.
on high alert, being like, okay, we cannot misplace people.
Right?
Yeah, that's crazy. So despite the tragedy, the Lonergan's case prompted stricter government regulations in regard to dive safety, including like a mandatory headcount confirmation and ID card measures. So like everybody had to take out their ID as well. The 2003 movie Open Water is a fictional account based on the events of Tom and Eileen Lonergan's disappearance. So if you want to watch a fictional recreation of what might have happened to them, that's the movie for you. So this is the true story of the movie, The Open Water,
Gosh, that's crazy.
the disappearance of Tom and Eileen Lonergan.
Sad story, too.
So just, I don't know, be careful when you dive. That's super careful.
Yeah.
Yep. So my sources for this were Tom and Eileen Lonergan, The American Couple Who Disappeared in the Great Barrier Reef by Kara Goldfarb from All That Is Interesting, Mystery of Couple Left Behind in Shark Infested Waters Still Missing 23 Years On by Niloufer Atik and Adam Solomons from the Mirror, from the Archives 1998, Two Scuba Divers Lost, Left Behind in Open Water, Paul McGeough from Brisbane Times, The Dive to Nowhere, an account of the missing Lonergans by Brown Lotus from Medium. True story behind Open Water is a dark mystery that goes way beyond the horror of the film by Aaron McCann from Ranker. And then a little bit of Great Barrier Reef from the Wikipedia from Wikipedia, and then information about the Central Great Barrier Reef from greatbarrierreef.org.
Nice.
So
Good deal.
I guess that's a segue into a conservation
Conservation
corner.
corner. So for our conservation corner, you had mentioned an animal that I picked. So I was like, oh, that's
Oh,
nice.
okay.
The dugong.
Oh,
The cousin of the manatee.
the other manatee. Yeah.
Yeah. So dugongs, their scientific name is dugong, which I love.
Simple, easy, to the point.
Yes.
I can never remember scientific names anyway, so I love it when that happens.
I know, me too. Like the loggerhead sea turtle is Coretta Coretta. And I'm like,
Yeah.
simple. I like it. Let's keep it
Great.
that
Perfect.
way. So they are the only herbivorous marine mammal, which they probably mean on that side of the ocean, because manatees are herbivorous.
Technically.
Yeah, marine
They're
mammal.
technically, they're at least estuarine. I mean, I guess they
Yeah.
don't like going to open ocean,
Oh, that's true.
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm
But
getting all of this information from the dugongconservation.org. So,
okay.
and their nonprofit is the Dugong and Seagrass Conservation Project.
Okay.
So it says here that they are the only herbivorous marine mammal. A single adult dugong can grow up to 3 meters, weigh up to 500 kilograms, and live for 70 years.
Damn.
That's crazy.
That's
Dugongs
like
can.
as long as a person,
Yeah,
pretty much.
they live as long as people do.
Yeah.
Dugongs can remain underwater for 3 to 12 minutes while feeding and traveling. They can eat up to 40 kilograms of seagrass per day. Dugongs are seagrass community specialists, and their range is broadly coincident with the distribution of seagrasses in the tropical and subtropical Indo-West Pacific.
Gotcha.
Dugongs occur in over 40 countries in the Indian Ocean and Western Pacific Ocean and are able to move into different home ranges, traveling hundreds of kilometers in a few days. Dugongs have been important to human cultures in various ways for thousands of years. So, what is the difference between a dugong and a manatee? Well, Dugongs weigh less than manatees. The average adult weighs 250 to 400 kilograms, while the average manatee weighs 400 to 500 kilograms. So they weigh just a little bit less than manatees. The second fact is dugongs cannot tolerate. Let me backtrack that for a second, because now I'm gonna laugh.
Googling. Okay, sorry.
Dugongs cannot tolerate freshwater. Dugongs are strictly marine mammals, but
Okay.
manatees migrate between marine and freshwater. So that's the
Okay.
difference there.
Okay. Gotcha.
The third fact here is the age of sexual maturity for dugongs is between 4 and 17 years, and for manatees, it's between 5 and 9 years.
That's such a
Dugong,
wide range.
I know, 4 to 17. It's like, yeah, they might not.
I might have a baby as a toddler. I might have one as a teenager. We'll
You
find
never know.
out.
We'll see.
Yeah, okay.
Dugongs can grow to an average length of 3 meters. Manatees are usually between 3 and 3.5 meters in length. The primary threats to dugongs are bycatch and the destruction of seagrass habitats. Manatees are primarily threatened by adverse temperatures and vessel strikes. That's interesting. Dugongs have smooth skin, whereas manatees have rough and wrinkled skin. Dugongs live in the Indian and Pacific Ocean, where manatees live in the Atlantic. And the final fact is the tail of the dugong is fluked, similar to a dolphin tail, while the manatee has a paddle-shaped tail. So that's how you can tell the two apart
I feel
visually
like
as well.
dugongs basically look like if the front half of a manatee met the back half of a bottlenose dolphin, and that's a fucking
Yes.
dugong. Like, that's what they
Yes.
look like.
Yes, that is exactly right. Yeah.
I
So
mean,
why are dugongs? Now I'm gonna say dogongs. Oh my god, why is that so hard for me to say? Why are dugongs vulnerable to extinction? Well, despite being able to travel long distances, dugong populations are considered to be declining across. Oh my god, Waylon just scared the fuck out of me. He opened the door and I was like, "Who the
That's okay.
hell?" Sorry. Dugong populations are considered to be declining across their range. It is estimated that populations have suffered a global decline of approximately 20% over the last century, largely due to human activities. The characteristics and life history of dugongs, long-lived with low reproductive rates, long generation times, and a high investment in each offspring, make their conservation problematic in the face of a range of human threats. A simulation study indicated that even in ideal natural conditions without human disturbance, dugong population growth would not exceed 5% per year, making them very vulnerable to overexploitation or other mortality. Even a slight reduction in adult survivorship can cause a substantial population decline. Dugongs are classified as vulnerable to extinction on the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species, indicating a high risk of extinction in the wild in the medium-term future. What are the main threats to dugongs? The main reasons for the declining dugong populations include incidental bycatch, which can occur from the use of shark nets, gill nets, or tidal traps. In the majority of cases, accidentally caught animals are eaten or sold. Although accidental, most of this capture and trade is illegal. Reports indicate that 56 dugongs were caught intentionally or incidentally between 2005 and 2010. All were caught in nets. Of the 51 that were found alive, all but one was killed for food or sale. So that's
I imagine a lot
pretty
of
bad.
that is probably happening in Africa or India, potentially, maybe Southeast Asia. I doubt that's happening in Australia.
Yeah, I don't think
And
that would
it's
happen
not
in
a
Australia.
like, oh, I think Australia is better than everywhere else, but it's more of a, when you have a developed country, they're more likely to make those kinds of like regulations on like food resources in that way, particularly marine mammals. Because I guess I don't know if it's necessarily they have the funding to do it, but like there's like an ethical quandary or a bigger ethical quandary about it. Especially with Western nations, we try to not kill whales in general or like marine mammals anymore. So
Yeah, probably is. I would agree with what you're saying. Probably is happening over there. The other threats to dugongs include destructive fishing practices in coastal waters, such as the use of beach seines or push nets and indiscriminate bottom trawling, the use of chemicals such as sodium cyanide and explosives such as dynamite fishing.
Oh shit.
Nice.
Yeah,
Nice meant sarcastically, guys. Come on.
yeah.
Hunting of dugongs still occur, but is less common nowadays. Dugongs have been taken for meat, blubber, and hides, as well as for traditional medicine, where the tusks and bones are used for the treatment of asthma, back pain, and shock. That's interesting. Boat strikes on dugongs can occur in heavy boat trafficked areas and are usually associated with coastal development. Dugongs usually swim very slowly, just like manatees, and must surface to breathe every 3 to 12 minutes, so it's difficult for them to avoid fast approaching boats. And then the last threat is excessive tourist interaction with dugongs that has resulted in operators or local communities disturbing animals and sometimes to physical harm from propeller strikes. So.
Yeah, that's kind of an issue for Florida manatees as well. It's like a huge issue. Yeah.
So that's a little bit about the dugong and why they are threatened in that area.
Yeah. The whole seagrass thing absolutely makes sense because I think seagrasses are going down kind of worldwide, really. At least in our region of the Gulf, it is highly tied to like turbidity as like the main reason. I mean, we also have, fishing disturbance, particularly trawling, I guess, in shallow water areas would disturb seagrass growth. But for us, I think it's definitely more turbidity, especially as you go farther north up the coast of Texas, because we've got higher precipitation rates up there, therefore higher sedimentation, and the water gets muddier and cloudier, and seagrass are plants and they need sun, and so they need the water to not be cloudy so that they can
Or
acquire
get
said
sun.
sun. And so, like, it's been interesting because, some years we have really clear water in our bay is pretty much right on the middle, like in the middle of the coast. Sometimes we have really great seagrass beds, and other times it's like if we've had huge rain events, particularly in the spring, like you're like, oh, our seagrass is going to suffer this year because of that.
Yeah, I think around here a lot of our issues is like run aground, like prop scars. Like people just like hit the bottom and tear up a lot of seagrass. But you will get fined for that. So yeah. There are some factoids of seagrasses on this page if you would like me to read
Sure.
those as well.
Why not?
Okay. All right, so what are seagrasses?
Get
Seagrasses
it
are,
too fur.
I know, it's, I mean, they go hand in hand, so it's nice that it's all right here. Seagrasses are a group of flowering plants adapted to exist submerged in shallow marine environments with low turbidity. Globally, there are 60 known species of seagrasses, most of which are disturbed, or not disturbed, excuse me, most of which are distributed along temperate and tropical coastlines. The tropical Indo-Pacific region is the most diverse seagrass bioregion, hosting 24 known species. In many semi-tropical and tropical regions, seagrass habitats are also often closely linked to mangrove and reef ecosystems, which together are essential for the life cycles of a number of reef and mangrove-dependent species. Seagrasses occupy only 0.2% of the world's oceans.
Yeah. And most of them, I would hazard a guess, are in subtropical or tropical areas.
And so the difference between seagrass and seaweed, because I've heard that before, seagrass produces flowers, seeds, and fruit. Seaweed only produces spores. Both seagrass and seaweed are threatened by damaging fishing methods and pollution. Seagrass has roots, whereas seaweed does not. Seaweed uses holdfasts to anchor itself to other objects. The record number of species of seagrass is approximately 60, but there are estimated to be between 5,000 and 6,000 known species of seaweed. Holy shit, that's a lot. Seagrass is a flowering plant. Seaweed is a large type of algae. Seaweed or seagrass uses its roots to extract nutrients from the sediment, but seaweed extracts nutrients from the water around it. It's interesting, I didn't know that either. So seagrass uses the roots to extract nutrients from sediment. Seaweed extracts nutrients from the water. Interesting. Why is it important to save seagrass? Seagrasses provide valuable benefits to people. They play an important role in carbon storage, accounting for 10% of the annual carbon sink capacity of the oceans. It has been estimated that a hectare of the most effective seagrass meadows exceeds by tenfold the carbon sink capacity of the pristine Amazon rainforest. Seagrass provides habitat for, and breeding grounds for many marine species, including important fishery species that millions of people around the globe depend on for their livelihoods. They provide nursery grounds for juvenile and commercially important marine species such as shrimp, shellfish, and finfish. Subsistence fisheries depend on seagrasses both as fish nurseries and as accessible and sheltered fishing grounds. 29% of the world's seagrass habitat has already been lost largely through human activities, and remaining seagrass is disappearing at a rate of 110 kilometers squared per year. These rates of loss are comparable to those reported for mangroves, coral reefs, and tropical rainforests, and place seagrass meadows among the most threatened ecosystems on Earth. And then
Yep.
what are the main threats to seagrass? Direct and indirect threats to sensitive seagrass ecosystems from human influence are significant, but are largely overlooked by policymakers. These include direct destruction of seagrass habitats associated with unsustainable urban and industrial coastal development, as well as some fishing methods such as trawling, using explosives and chemicals, causing direct physical damage to seagrass meadows. Pollution in coastal waters from inadequate treatment of domestic sewage, untreated industrial liquid and solid waste disposals, runoff caused by deforestation or plantation or property and industrial development leads to loss of seagrasses. Natural disasters such as cyclones, storm surges, and tsunamis add to human impacts on seagrass habitat throughout through increased turbidity owing to sediment entering the water column. The runoff from the land as surge water recedes. Oh, wow, I said that so fucking wrong. Okay, let me say that again. Natural disasters such as cyclones, storm surges, and tsunamis add to human impacts on seagrass habitats through increased turbidity owing to sediment entering the water column and runoff from land and surge water recedes. Land as surge water recedes. In addition, seagrass plants may be ripped from their holdings due to wave activation. And then the last one here is says that climate change exacerbates the impacts of human activities on seagrasses.
So
That being said.
another important associated habitat, marine habitat that needs to be protected. I was looking at some maps of just like where these like seagrass beds are within the Great Barrier Reef, and a lot of them are on that like in that channel, that 100-mile channel in between like the reef and the coast. So
Yes.
there's kind of like a gradient of like reef to seagrass to like coastal environment. And so like without that reef, potentially that seagrass, those seagrass beds wouldn't exist as well, because they require that like shallower water. I'm sure they're more protected from like wave action and that kind of thing.
Yeah,
So
because the reef takes a lot of that storm surge. So, like, if you imagine a reef isn't there and then a major storm comes through, those seagrass beds are going to get all the storm surge and then can be potentially ripped out from the root.
I mean, and basically in the tropics, they kind of serve as like like barrier islands do, in like temperate locations. So I just didn't ever think about them being like a hurricane or like storm protecting ecosystem, but technically they are. Yeah. Well, that's very interesting.
Yeah,
That
so that
was a
was our
good
conservation
one.
corner. Yeah.
That's a good one. All right, well, so we talked about if we're like, let's come back and be depressing.
Yeah.
So let's do some happy things.
Yeah, happy things. I guess my happy thing could be that my wedding is coming up.
Yeah.
I like to try to do like a week out or 2 weeks out for a happy thing. But I would say happy thing in the forefront of my brain right now is wedding
Yeah.
stuff. So,
Yeah. I mean, literally the month before, you can't think of anything else. That's like,
I
that's
know,
all
yes.
you think about for
Yeah.
fucking like 4 weeks.
Yeah, it's coming quick and just like knowing how fast, like, I don't know, the last 2 months have gone. I'm like a little scared for how fast this is gonna go, but it'll be fine. It'll all work out.
It's gonna be fun. I'm gonna have fun.
Yeah, no, it'll
Hopefully you'll
be,
have fun, but
I'll have
I
fun. No, it'll be great. I'll have fun. I'm already so over all the decision making. I'm like, can we just get this on the, can we just get the show on the road? Like,
I'm at the
So.
point I'm like, my dress has been like fixed. So all my check boxes have been checked. Like I booked everything. Like I'm ready to
Yeah.
go. Let's do it. Let's do
I
it.
know the last piece for me was like trying to get the, like figure out the shuttle stuff. And so the guy just
Yeah.
needs to email me back about it. So yeah, it should all be good. So yeah, everything's kind of coming together. I have a planner for the month ahead, so we'll be getting together on that soon. But yeah, everything's paid for and reserved, so that's just it is what it is at this point, you know?
Yeah, well, obviously, yeah, Corey and I are definitely looking forward to that, but we still have like a few hurdles before we can go and relax and enjoy that, and like in our personal lives. Obviously,
Yeah.
you know, the job search is started and ongoing for me.
Yeah.
And to those of you who want to know why, it's mostly just because, you know, we liked the East Coast a lot. We liked the climate, we liked the area, we liked the people. And, you know, we need to get back closer to our parents. And, you know, ultimately, Texas is not the place we really want to settle in. Are you
Yeah.
good? You just scared
Sorry, Alex just scared me again. I thought I heard someone like walking through the front door and I looked over and Alex is just like there staring
just
at
like
me. I'm sorry, I'm listening. You want to be closer to your parents?
I mean,
That
you
man's
know all this stuff,
Yes.
so
No, you're good. I'm sorry. That man scares me on a daily basis.
yeah, so that's ongoing, and I got a project that I'm trying to wrap up from the winter that's gonna happen next week. Like, I just don't want to do it, but it needs like the thing needs to get done. And then, so I guess my happy thing right now is I'm getting tattooed
Oh, that
this
is your happy.
weekend.
That's right. Is it this weekend? This coming
Yeah, this
weekend?
coming weekend. So, yeah, so that's another box to check because I made the appointment before like fucking everything was happening all at the same time.
Yeah. You'll have to send me a picture once it's done. I'm excited. That's gonna be
Yeah,
a
I'm a
good
little
one.
nervous just because I've never gotten one before and it's kind of big, but I feel like I have an okay pain tolerance. So,
Yeah. Well, where are you getting it again? Your thigh, you said?
and now
Or your arm?
my
Oh, right there.
upper, like my arm, my
Yeah.
inner lower arm, I don't know.
I feel like that'd be fine. I don't know. Like it hurts the worst when it's like on bone, like your
Yeah.
ankles and like your back and like things like that and
Yeah.
like your elbows and yeah, I feel like.
I'm like, am I fat enough here that it's not gonna, I feel like it's gonna be painful the further you get towards the wrist with it, but
Yeah.
I don't know.
Put it this way, like when I get my eyebrows done, like they put numbing cream there. And so like I this is obviously not an accurate description, but like it just feels like a lot of little like pins, I guess you could
Yeah.
say.
Yeah.
So
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's like I'm banking on the fact that like women just have a higher pain tolerance than men to get me through this.
Yeah.
But who knows? I may be a baby about it. I don't know.
No, like when I got the one on my back, I was like, you know, I was getting kind of like lightheaded because of like the pain, but it's on my back. It's like on my spine. Like that fucking
Oh,
hurts. And I don't know
yeah.
why that, like, I mean, I know why, but like I look back on it. I'm like, wow, like that was super insane of me to get my first tattoo on my fucking spine. Like,
He just went for
why? Yeah.
it.
But like the outline wasn't that bad. It was the shading that was like really, really bad because they're like scraping the
Yeah, I
shading
know.
here. Like, oh yeah, that hurt.
Yeah. I'm just trying not to think about it. And I guess like if I really need it, like numbing cream is always an option, or typically is an option at tattoo
Yeah.
parlors. But and yeah, it's the same tattoo artist that's been doing all of Ethan's recent tattoos, and
Oh,
he
that's
really likes
right.
her. So we
Yeah.
keep joking that we have a family tattoo artist now. I'm
That's
like, I'm just gonna have
awesome.
to fly back to Austin for every single tattoo I ever get.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you.
But
That's exciting
yeah,
though. That's
so
fun.
yeah, I'm a little apprehensive, but I'm excited about it because I've been holding on to this idea for like pretty much 5 years now, and I've just not done it because it's like every time I go to do it or think about like, oh, I should make an appointment, like the, you know, something on the car breaks, and then I'm like, well, that
Yeah.
money I was saving for the tattoo is now going to go
Up
towards my
to a
vehicle.
car. Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll be so happy once it's done, though. Like, I sat on the tattoo on my back for like 3 or 4 years, too.
Yeah.
And then, like, you finally get it, and you're like, oh, it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I, yeah, that's what I'm hoping will happen. Because I know, like, when I get it, my mom's going to be like, Jillian, you're just doing it because Ethan's doing it. And it's like, I've literally had this tattoo, like, in the back of my head for like 5 years. Like, it's
Yeah.
not like a split second decision. Maybe he helped me, like, just push me to, like, actually make an appointment and do it. But other than that, it's like, this is entirely my own decision. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, I hear you.
But, you know, what are you gonna
Cool.
do?
Yeah, what are you gonna do?
Parents never like a tattoo.
No, I don't know if you heard my mom at the bachelorette party, but like I had the ink box one on my forearm. Because like I had drawn it and I was like, oh, this is fun. I can go on Inkbox, upload it, and then like test it for like 2 weeks and see how I like it there, you know, whatever. I would like, you know, I was like, I show up, I'm talking to my mom. She goes, is that your tattoo right there? I was like, Mom, it's already fading. It's gonna go away by next week. Like, it's not permanent.
Yeah, I did hear that. I did
I
hear
was like,
that.
it's fine, everything's fine.
Yeah. I think it's nice now that like people have just like stopped caring about that, 'cause like that was
Yeah.
always the big thing, like in like my mom was like, well, if you get a tattoo like that's visible, like you'll never get a job. And it's like that might have been true for their
Back in,
generation, but it's
yeah.
absolutely not true now. I think
Yeah.
face tattoos are kind of the line. Like if you have like
Yes.
big noticeable face tattoos, like that's kind of like where people are like, I don't
Yeah.
know. But like the rest of your body, it's like it's free game. Everybody
Yeah.
has them now, you
I feel
know?
like if I was a hiring manager, if someone was interviewing with anything like a tattoo from like the neck up, I probably wouldn't want to hire them. But like if you come in wearing a dress and you have like a forearm tattoo, I'm like, whatever.
Yeah. Well, and like
That's
in our field, I
everyone
specifically
has
like the
tattoos in our field.
science tattoo, like the science field, like tattoos are pretty prevalent.
Yeah.
Like almost everybody has them. My graduate advisor has like a full colored sleeve and a massive back tattoo, and she works for a university. So it's like, you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
I think if you're in like a science field or a creative field, it doesn't matter as much for sure.
Yeah, I
But even if
agree.
you're in business, like I just don't think people care anymore.
Yeah,
You
I don't.
know?
I'm trying to
Especially,
think of
sorry, go
anybody I
ahead.
know. No, I'm saying I'm trying to think of anybody that I know that's like in a business field that has tattoos, but I don't really
Yeah.
know many people. Like visible
Well,
tattoos, you know what I mean?
yeah.
Like they have tattoos, but they cover them up kind
Yeah. And like, I don't know, the whole like, well,
thing.
you want to make sure you can cover it up. And it's like, I mean, I guess that's true. But again, like, I just don't think people care anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And the whole thing about, oh, well, your body is a temple. It's like, that's such a weird argument. 'Cause like, have you seen churches? Have you seen like the stained glass? Like, yeah, of
Yeah.
course it's a temple, so why wouldn't I like decorate it?
Yeah.
But then again, like tattoos are so varied in like what people decide to get, and like there's people who will just like go out and get like whatever because they feel like it. And some people end up regretting those, but I don't know. I'm the kind of person that I think long and hard before I do
Same.
anything.
Yeah.
So
Me too.
I don't really see myself like in the future being like, I wish I'd never gotten this like incredibly meaningful tattoo.
I know, like seriously. Come
Yeah.
on. I
So.
know, like the next tattoo that I want to get is gonna be like for my freshwater conch year. 'Cause
Little
like, you know,
trout. Little trout action.
no, me I've also thought about that too. I've also thought about like getting a tattoo of like fish that I've like worked with, you know.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think my next one is just gonna be like a freshwater conch tattoo. Not freshwater conch, but like so down here when you live in the Keys for 7 years, you're considered a freshwater conch. If you're born and bred,
Oh.
yeah, if you're born and bred in the Keys, you're a saltwater conch, like you're a conch. And so,
Okay.
like, you know, I've been down here for 5 years now. So I have 2 more years to go to be like a freshwater conch. But like, if I reach that, then I would get like a conch tattoo.
I
Like,
love that though. That's cute. I
yeah. And
didn't hear
then,
you say conch at the end,
oh,
so I was
okay.
like my time in freshwater. So I was
Yeah.
thinking like it, you know, when you worked in Utah with the trout and
Yeah,
stuff.
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so freshwater conch would be my next one. And then like, you know, there each birth month has like a birth flower. So then I was gonna put like my birth flower and like Alex's birth flower in it. So it's like, you
Yeah.
know, we're freshwater conchs and you know, we met down here. We love each
That's cute.
other. Like a cute little, like pretty conchy, flowery kind of
Yeah.
tattoo. Yeah.
I'm here for it. Yeah. I have
Yeah.
no idea what my next one will be, which is probably a good thing. because I'll probably want to think about it for a long time before I get
Yeah.
it. So, yeah, so that's my happy thing.
I love it.
Yeah. All right. If people want to listen to the podcast or
Yeah, you
interact with
guys,
us.
yes, you guys can find us anywhere on any streaming platform. So, like Spotify, Google, Apple Podcasts. We have a website, mothernaturewillkillyou.com, or you can listen to us there. We're on social medias, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. Facebook is Mother Nature Will Kill You, I believe is what you made it. Instagram is Mother Nature Will Kill You podcast, and then TikTok is MNWKY podcast. Yeah, that is that.
And then if you want to submit a story, if you have been left by a dive boat, we fucking want to hear about it. Like if
I
you
do
survived that,
rip
I
them
want to
apart.
know. Because I feel like it's more common than people think it is. Like that's not like, well, if you've climbed Everest, like nobody's
Yeah.
fucking climbed Everest. But like this, it
Yeah.
could happen to anybody, you
Like
know?
our dive team was out one day working and the fucking boat got loose from the anchor line and drifted away. And then they're like, oh fuck, the boat's going away.
Exactly. So, ooh, sorry. So, yeah, if you've been left by a dive boat, lost your dive boat, I want to hear about that. But if you've just had an uncomfortable time in nature, could be hiking in the woods, could be hanging out at the beach, we want to hear about that too. Submit those. We have a story submission page on the website where you can send it to our email. And then if you want to support the podcast but don't have any money because we live in a post-capitalist hellscape, you can give us a 5-star review on any of our listening platforms. And welcome back. What are we on? Year 4 of
I
this
think we
thing?
are for year four. It's been a crazy, it's been a wild ride.
And I feel like we still mostly do it just to fucking catch up every 2 weeks.
Yes. Yeah. But I mean, like I said, the last time I was talking with one of my friends, I was catching up with her. She's like, oh, I listen to your podcast all the time and I recommend it to people all the time.
Oh,
And so, Alex Fine, shout out. Love you. Thank you.
yeah. So, all right. Well, with that, we'll be back again in 2 weeks, with a fun topic. So,
Alrighty, until next time, stay safe, but most of all,
stay curious, explorers.
goodbye.
Goodbye.